Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Kings chapter 3. There are 28 verses in this chapter. Translations we have, and also commentary. Also, we have part 6 of Dealing with the Spirit, and a letter from a man that has been working over here. We just hired him not too long ago, but he has seen the evidence that this is a Christian work and wrote a very nice letter today, and that I received today anyway. And then we have a letter from Africa and one from India. Right now, let's all go up to the throne and ask the Lord to honor this service by visiting it with his enlightening spirit, his powerful spirit, his spirit of life. Lord, you are the Spirit, the Word. You're the Word of our life. We have our life, and then we need to have that life totally annihilated so that we can live your life and have your life in us so that we have your life. Our life is temporal, yours is eternal. And when we accept you, your word, and praise, Lord, that you anoint the words from your word this evening, and enlighten us, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches, all those that are churches. Those that are not churches, Lord, are carnal, and they cannot understand, and they feel that your word is foolishness unto them that perish. But, Lord, to those of us that are the churches, I pray, Lord, that you open the ears of all of them and open the ears of the unsaved that will be hearing these tapes so that they, too, can be children of the Lord, children of the Spirit, of the spiritual realm. Lord God, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, so we've got the letters now, so Michelle, come forward and read this nice letter from Mr. James Caswell. Church hired him to do some bulldozing around here and some cleanup, and he's supposed to be one of the most reputable bulldozer drivers and land people in this particular area in Arkansas and the Texas area, so let's hear from him.
From a friend to a friend. Tony, I just want you to know that you are doing a lot for God and his people. The people that had nowhere to run and nowhere to go, you came along and gave them hope and a chance to receive the greatest gift on earth, and that is to serve the Lord. And by doing that, the gift extended on into heaven. What more can a person give to another than 100% chance to enter the kingdom of God? I have met you and Ben, Don, and the young man that does the flowers, and other people there. These are people I like to be around. My mother and father have already gone on, and most of the old-timers that I was around growing up, they were all God people, and it showed. I remember there were homecomings and church socials and sometimes dinner on the ground. But dinner wasn't on the ground. We had tables. That's what they called it, just a little humor about dinner on the ground. I had to do that part so I could dry the tears from my eyes so I could write more. My grandmother lived with us while I was growing up, and she taught me to treat people like you want to be treated. I miss the old-timers, but I know there is a place here in Falk where God is working daily, and the people are the happiest and kindest I have ever seen. Tony, God sent you to the hellhole of Falk, and I wish, hope, and pray every day that they have the chance me and my son had to meet you. I'm talking about the people in the area that talk against you and lifted no finger to help you. But you and God bore the cross, and you knew you would win because you had God on your side. But now the people of Falk have welcomed you now, and things are looking up. You and God have fought off the voice of Satan. But before I go to sleep tonight, I thank God for you and what you are doing, and God thanks you too. I pray every night before I go to sleep and have a lot to be thankful for. I pray for other people, too, that they will find God as we have. So I will close now because it is almost time to lay my head down on a tear-stained pillow from happiness I have received, and also sadness from people who have not been able to know God and His Son Jesus. But maybe these people will find a friend like you, and they will be brought closer to the Lord our God. Thanks, Tony. Forever my friend, James Caswell. Thank you.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, your first letter is from where?
From Penu Mantra Mandal, India.
Okay.
Dear beloved Tony Ulamo, greetings of love and joy of the very warmest kind to you, your son Sion, his loving mother, and all the other saints around you, in the sweetest name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your great book, The Messiah, as well as your newsletters, which I received with great joy. I was very much encouraged by your sound doctrine, which has truly inspired me. So far, we have been involved in the church ministry since 1991. We are carrying the gospel through literature distribution in our area, as well as remote tribal areas in the West Godavari district. We distributed your literature, and many people have come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Our team is reaching the villages, conducting street gospel preaching, as well as children's camps in tribal areas. Please kindly pray for us. I need your prayer support now and forever. I praise God for you. Please send me some more books and newsletters to distribute in needed areas. Thank God for the gospel literature. I am waiting for your prayerful letter. Yours in His service, P.R., from Penu Mantra Mandal, India.
Oh, praise the Lord. Then what is the next, where is the next letter from?
From Brong Ahafo, Ghana, Africa. Dearly beloved, a friend loaned me some of your literature to read, and it is helping me very much, and also winning a lot of souls in my country, Ghana. They are impressed and keep asking for more. Straight to the point, I am 36 years old, and I have lost my wife for 1 year now. I have one child who is a boy age of 2 years old. I am finding the world hard. But the time I got the World Newsletter booklets to read, I got encouragement from the books, and they are helping me forget all the problems in my life. My motive of writing you is to let you know how a single publication of yours has affected my life and the lives of my friends. It has also provoked my desire to know God the more. I now attend church. Sir, since I am now on the track to eternal life, I shall request you to send me your literature, tapes, a Bible, and books. I like reading your book entitled The Messiah and other books. Your literature has kept me steadily on the road to adulthood in Christ Jesus. Sir, I trust this not to be beyond you, as I wait patiently for you to fill my hunger for God's word, which, when it is convenient for you to do so. May God bless your work and help you. World Pastor Tony Ulamo, thank you. Yours faithfully, C.Y. from Brong Ahafo, Ghana, Africa.
I pray that the people in the tract room, in the newsletter room where they send, in the mailing room, that they already sent plenty of literature to this man. Anyone that's that eager to distribute literature and win souls, get heap of literature upon them. Get them as much as they want. Okay, now, Sharon, thank you very much, Michelle. And Sharon, we'll start with chapter 3 of the book of 1 Kings.
Solomon asks for wisdom, King James Version, verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Translation, verse 1. Solomon asks for wisdom. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married one of his daughters. He brought her to live in the city of David until he could finish building his palace and the temple of the Lord, and the wall around the city.
Already Solomon was starting with marrying these, for political reasons, these women that the Lord warned him not to marry. He married a woman from Egypt. Amen?
Amen.
That's northern Africa. Okay, then what?
Verse 2, King James Version. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. Verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. Verse 5. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. Verse 6. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Translation, verse 2 through 9. At that time the people of Israel sacrificed their offerings at local altars, for a temple honoring the name of the Lord had not yet been built. Verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the instructions of his father David, except that Solomon, too, offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the local altars. Verse 4. The most important of these altars was at Gibeon, so the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. Verse 5. That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, quote, What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 6. Solomon replied, quote, You were wonderfully kind to my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued this great kindness to him today, by giving him a son to succeed him. Verse 7. O Lord my God, now you have made me king instead of my father David. But I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. Verse 8. And here I am young, your own chosen people. And here I am among your own chosen people, a nation so great they are too numerous to count! Exclamation mark. Verse 9. Give me an understanding mind, so that I can govern your people well, and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great nation of yours? Unquote. King James Version, verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Verse 11. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Verse 13.
You talk about kings, and the only one that is wiser than him, I believe, is Jesus, amen, and those that are in Jesus and the one that Jesus lived in. There was, after Jesus came and died on the cross, there were no more kings in Israel. Jesus became the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the high priest, amen?
Amen.
No more priesthood. Okay, what else?
Verse 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Verse 14. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Verse 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. Verse 17. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. Verse 18. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. Verse 19, and this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. Verse 20, and she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. Verse 21, and when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. Verse 22, and the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Verse 23, then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. Verse 24, and the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. Verse 25, and the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Verse 26, then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Verse 27, then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Verse 28, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Translation, verse 10 through 28. The Lord was pleased with Solomon's reply and was glad that he had asked for wisdom. Verse 11. So God replied, quote, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people and have not asked for a long life or riches for yourself or the death of your enemies. Verse 12. I will give you what you asked for! Exclamation mark. I will give you a wise and understanding mind such as no one else has ever had or ever will have! Exclamation mark. Verse 13. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and honor! Exclamation mark. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life! Exclamation mark. Verse 14. And if you follow me and obey my commandments as your father David did, I will give you a long life. Unquote. Verse 15. Then Solomon woke up and realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, where he sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. Then he invited all his officials to a great banquet. Solomon judging wisely. Verse 16. Some time later, two prostitutes came to the king to have an argument settled. Verse 17, quote, please, my lord, one of them began, this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. Verse 18, 3 days later, she also had a baby. We were alone. There were only two of us in the house. Verse 19, but her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it. Verse 20, then she got up in the night and took my son from beside me while I was asleep. She laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep beside her. Verse 21, and in the morning when I tried to nurse my son, he was dead! Exclamation mark. But when I looked more closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't my son at all. Unquote. Verse 22, then the other woman interrupted, quote, it certainly was your son, and the living child is mine. Unquote. Quote, no, the first woman said, the dead one is yours, and the living one is mine. Unquote. And so they argued back and forth before the king. Verse 23. Then the king said, quote, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours, and each says that the dead child belongs to the other. Verse 24. All right, bring me a sword. Unquote. So a sword was brought to the king. Verse 25. Then he said, quote, cut the living child in two pieces and give each give half to each of these women, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 26, then the woman who really was the mother of the living child and who loved him very much cried out, quote, oh no, my Lord, exclamation mark, give her the child, please, do not kill him, exclamation mark, unquote. But the other woman said, quote, oh, he will be neither yours nor mine, divide him between us, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 27, then the king said, quote, do not kill him, but give the baby to the woman who wants him to live, for she is his mother, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 28, word of the king's decision spread quickly throughout all Israel, and the people were awed as they realized the great wisdom God had given him to render decisions with justice.
Praise the Lord. That was the 28 verses with commentary, rather a translation, of 1 Kings chapter 3, and now we have the commentary.
Marriage between royal families was a common practice in the ancient Near East because it secured somewhat of a peace situation for them. And although Solomon's marital alliances built friendships with surrounding nations, they also were the beginning of his downfall. These relationships became inroads for pagan ideas, practices, and worship. Solomon's foreign wives brought their gods to Jerusalem and eventually lured him into idolatry. Chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. It's real easy to minimize religious differences in order to encourage the development of a friendship. But very often, seemingly small differences can have an enormous impact upon a relationship with God. God gives us his standards to follow, his word to follow for all of our relationships, including marriage. If we follow God's will, his standards, we will not be lured away from our true focus on him. The Bible tells us that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, people that don't believe the way God tells us to believe. 3 verse 2 through 3. God's laws said that the Israelites could make sacrifices only in specified places. Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 13 through 14. This was to prevent the people from instituting their own methods of worship and allowing pagan practices to creep into their worship services. But many Israelites, including Solomon, made sacrifices in the surrounding hills. Solomon loved God, but this act was sin. It took the offering out of the watchful care of priests and ministers loyal to God and opened the way for the false teaching to be tied to the sacrifices. God appeared to Solomon to grant him wisdom, but at night, not during the sacrifice. God honored his prayer, but did not condone the sacrifice. Chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. When given a chance to have anything in the world, Solomon asked for, quote, wisdom, unquote, quote, an understanding heart, unquote, in order to lead well and to make right decisions. We can ask God for this same wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. Notice that Solomon asked for discernment to carry out his job. He did not ask God to do the job for him. We should not ask God to do for us what he wants to do through us. Instead, we should ask God to give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to follow through on it. 3 verse 11 through 14. Solomon asked for wisdom, quote, discernment, unquote, not wealth, but God gave him riches and long life as well. While God does not promise riches to those who follow him, he gives us what we need if we put his kingdom, his interests, and his principles first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. Setting your sights on riches will only leave you dissatisfied, because even if you get the riches you crave, you will still want something more. But if you put God and his word first, he will satisfy your deepest needs. 3 verse 12. Solomon received a wise and discerning heart from God, but it was up to Solomon to apply that wisdom to all areas of his life. Solomon was obviously wise in governing the nation, but he was foolish in running his household. Wisdom is both the ability to discern what is best and the strength of character to act upon that knowledge. While Solomon remained wise all his life, he did not always act upon his wisdom. Chapter 11, verse 6. 3, verse 13 through 18. Solomon's settlement of his dispute was a classic example of his wisdom. This wise ruling was verification that God had answered Solomon's prayer and given him a discerning heart. We have God's wisdom available to us as we pray and request it. But, like Solomon, we must put it into action. Applying wisdom to life demonstrates our discernment. 3 verse 10 through 14. How the Lord honors humility, people that are humble. Because Solomon humbly asked for wisdom to guide his people, God rewarded him with riches and honor in addition to wisdom and an understanding heart. God desires that his followers serve him in humility, not wishing to achieve great personal gain. Yet he often rewards them richly when they do walk humbly with him, for, quote, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope, unquote. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Why don't we praise God for not only meeting our daily needs, but also blessing us far beyond our requests? Father God, you are pleased when your people serve you with humility, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Teach us to ask for what we truly need, not necessarily what we want. Give us what we want, too, and remind us to praise you when you bless us beyond our needs. We thank you for always providing for us, just as you have promised you would. Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 3, 1 Kings, 28 verses, translation, commentary. And now, this is part 6 of dealing with the Spirit, which means our spirit, which is what I mean. Okay, then what?
Dealing with the Spirit, part 6. The way of dealing with the Spirit is through our own initiative. The practical way to deal with the Spirit is similar to that of the various dealings mentioned before.
Right, the flesh and the self. We have to take initiative to do that. Some people still cry. Some people still weep over what God is telling others to do. God is telling me to do a certain thing, and some people get upset about that. I can't do anything about that, can I?
No.
Well, it's some presumption, you know, that people want to be your God to run your life rather than to let God do that. Well, of course, I don't let anybody do that, and anyone that would is not a rational, spiritual person. Okay, I'm trying to be kind. All right, then what?
First,
we have to take the initiative to put ourselves under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
If God wants something done, no matter how hard you cry or weep or look sad or sorry for yourself, a pure person that says the Lord is going to do what the Lord wants them to do. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you're wise, just take a little bit of wisdom from Solomon and let the Lord get that all out of you so that God can bless you. Amen?
Amen.
The more you try to get somebody to do what you want when the Lord wants them to do something else, the more the person is going to know that you're not of the Lord, because you want your way. Your flesh wants your way rather than the Lord's way. We all get tested, amen?
Amen.
I wanted out of when I was placed in prison for the gospel's sake. I was there for 4 years, 4.5 years, and I wanted out every day. But the Lord didn't. I let me out. So I realized when he wants me out, he'll let me out. And so I just kept myself busy serving the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I knew if I wouldn't serve the Lord, that then I wouldn't be of the Lord, because I'd be pouting and thinking that my pouting might get God to move for me? No, I don't think that way. And anyone that does is not rational, spiritually rational, right? You're still carnal. You need to be terminated by the Holy Spirit. All right, then what?
First, you need to condemn the satanic mixtures that are in the Spirit or that are attempting to push the Spirit into a small corner and make it stay there.
Right. There's all kinds of people and impurities in the church and in the world that try to push your spirit that has the desire to serve the Lord into a corner rather than, let it just, because if a person's spirit is very strong and the power of the Lord is in there, His Holy Spirit is in your spirit, you're not going to be pushed in the corner for anyone. You're going to plow right through there. And the people will pout all the more and cry all the more and weep and throw themselves. They just say, it's just too much to put my flesh under and myself because I love myself more than the Lord. Well, who, if they're really terminated, somebody that's of the Lord, who could love anybody like that that's so selfish? I couldn't. All right? That just makes you not like, it makes you know what they are all the more. They say, well, they've repented of a certain thing, but still in all, they're still coming, trying to control your life. Because the Lord is telling me one thing, and they're saying they want something else. Well, who am I going to listen to if I want to go to heaven? Them or the Lord?
The Lord.
Yes, very very wise answer. Okay? And people that just think they're so hot. You're not hotter than the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is the hot one. Amen?
Amen.
So back down. Okay? Or else. God's liable to just take you right out. Okay, then what?
So
read that line again.
First, you need to condemn the satanic mixtures that are in the Spirit or that are attempting to push the Spirit into a small corner and make it stay there.
Yeah, see, people, they hear this, but they don't apply it. Amen?
Amen.
It's just, well, we learned that, yes, but we know that, but I want my own way. I want you to do what I want you to do. I mean, and such people, such nothing type people try to dictate to a person that is as strong in the Lord as I am to think that they have the unmitigated gall to think they're going to tell me what to do when the Lord is precisely telling me something completely different. I will not do it. Okay, then what?
So you have to condemn the mixtures. And secondly, you must remove them by the power of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the power of the Word, the Spirit, the cross. To do the will of God is a cross. Amen? Because
Amen.
Your flesh doesn't like that. Amen?
Amen.
To do the will of the Lord is the Spirit, because which is also the cross. To do the will of the Lord is the Word, because that Word tells you what the will of the Lord is. And then the Comforter tells you what you should do and what you should not do. And to discipline others around you, if you're a pastor, to where they will either shape up or ship out. It's up to them. I can't make people do anything, but I can tell them what they have to do. And then they're trying to tell me what I'm going to do. Let me get this straight to you. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to. But I want you to do that. I'm sorry. I will not, and I cannot, and I will not. As they say in, let's see, it's I cannot, I will not, and I do not. In Scotland, right? I just cannot. I cannot. Okay. All right, then what?
The Word of God is the power of the Holy Spirit.
The Word of God is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the cross. It's the killer of ourselves. Because Jesus died on the cross and killed sin in a body, in his body. Amen?
Amen.
Because how did he kill sin? He showed that he defeated it by not sinning all his life, and then he was killed. Amen?
Amen.
So right there, he conquered sin. It's sin never got him. And now when he's in a human body, and that body is about, you know, to just do what the Lord says and what the Lord allows, and then the Lord is still giving commands to the person, that person, if they're of the Lord, will not do what others tell them to do. They have the cross, the Spirit, the Word. They've got God. And obviously somebody that wants you to not serve God is not of God. Okay? They just think that you know, their tears or their cryings or their meanderings or their wringing of hands or casting themselves in the fire or whatever they're going to do is going to change your opinion to serve the Lord. If everyone in the world wants to go to hell, let them. I'm going to try everything in my power to stop them from going. But if they want to go, they're not going to take me with them, okay? If Mama wants to go to hell, you know, that's her. If Wifey wants to go to hell, I can't stop that any more than Job could. If son or daughter or anyone else wants to go to hell, I'll do exactly what the Lord says, which should prevent them from going. But after all the messages and after all the witness that they see of the way that I live my life, even this James Coswell that we just read the letter of, he's seen the witness of me in just a few days being around me. And if people that have been around me for years don't receive that witness, or they think that they can control, I say, I'm controlled by the Holy Spirit, not you, okay? You've got such gallus like Satan right in you to think that you can swerve me. There's something radically wrong with you. Okay, then what?
For example, if you have a crooked spirit, you must first condemn the crookedness of it and condemn it because it is sin.
Yes. Anything other than God is sin. And no born again of the Spirit Christian that's powerful is going to say, come on, let's join hands together, sinner. We're not to even be unevenly yoked with sinners. Amen? Mm-hmm. Unbelievers. If you don't believe I'm of the Lord, then fooey on you-y. Okay, Dewey? Huey or Louie? Just fooey on you. All right? Because I have the Spirit, I know you're not of the Lord. Get out of me way, bucko. All right, then what? These different voices coming over the airways. All right, what else?
In the second place, you must purge out this crookedness from within you by the power of the Word of God, which really is the power of the Holy Spirit.
And it's also the cross. And you don't want to do that? Well, it's obvious. It's obvious. We see these croppings out, you know. Wildfire starts coming out. Every so often, people come out of their closet and show exactly what spirit they are. It's filthy, I tell you. Filthy. It needs to be condemned, this crookedness. Amen?
Amen.
Or no?
Amen.
Someone doesn't say amen, you know, and they look at me quizzically. Oh, that's better. That's a smile. Okay, then what?
Although the condemning and the removal through the power of God's Word, the Holy Spirit, and remember Jesus said, quote, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, the Holy Spirit, and they are life, unquote, John 6:63, yet they are of our own initiative. So you must be willing to have these dealings.
Yeah, you have to take the initiative to say, okay, I know what to do now, and now I've got to do it. Otherwise, you are not, this is one of the major things that a person has to do, is to bear the cross, bite the bullet, so to speak, apply the cross to your warped, crooked spirit. Now, there's a lot of people that'll say, I'm not a crook. But later we found out that they were. Amen?
Amen.
That they were crooked. So just because you say that you're of the Lord, just because you say you're not crooked, doesn't mean that that's true. Let the Spirit deal with you. Let the cross deal with you. Let the Word deal with you. You want to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And stay out of hell in the lake of fire. So just receive it, lassie or laddie, and live. Okay, what else?
You must be willing to take on these dealings. You must desire them. If there is no desire for them, then there is no initiative.
And if you don't desire and there's no initiative, then you're not going to make it. Okay? If it's raining and there's water pouring through the house, through a hole in the ceiling, and you just let it pour through, you have to take the initiative to get up there on the roof and put some plastic over there, or get a roofer to come over and put some plywood up there and some shingles so it doesn't come pouring in. There was a song years ago called Mañana, or the, you know, the roof, she is leaking and the water's coming in. If someone doesn't fix it, I'll be soaking to my skeins. But we'll just wait till another day. Mañana is good enough for me. They were doing that in kind of a tongue-in-cheek situation because the song was geared because everybody thought in the United States that the Mexicans had siestas and they were always sleeping and stuff like that. But that isn't true. The Mexicans I know are very hard workers, amen? So that was just a funny song that was a lie, too. Amen? The ones that take more siestas than anybody is the people in Israel. My God, they close down on Wednesday. They knock off at sundown. On Friday night when the sun goes down, it's Sabbath. And then it's when it comes back up, the sun goes down on Saturday, the end of the Sabbath. And then Sunday they go to work. Monday they have some kind of a thing where they knock off early. And Tuesday or Wednesday, they just knock. I couldn't get anything done. It's just you start getting started and say, siesta. You know? They blow the whistle, and that's it over there in Israel. Well, you talk about some laid-back people. Well, anyway, let's get going here.
If you do that, if you have the desire, then you can draw from the power of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, requires the cooperation of our will. When the Lord has our cooperation, He will supply us with the power for dealing with the flesh.
Yeah, cooperate. Keep yourself busy. Amen?
Yeah.
Doing what the Lord wants you to do. All right, keep yourself busy. Stay out of trouble. Get your mind off yourself and on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, wait, okay. If anyone could feel sorry for themselves, I'm more than all of you put together. I could just sit and pout all the time. They put me in prison. And they put me in jails. And they call me bad names. And they say all these nasty things about me. I'm just going to throw in the towel and quit. You can't do that. Amen?
Amen.
How would anybody hear the Word of God? I got to continue on to the end. Because all those that continue on to the end shall be saved. I have to get my mind off myself. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, I'm going to go down just like some of these weaklings that just always feel sorry for themselves. I mean, I couldn't have anything I wanted to eat when I was in prison. Well, everybody else in the church was eating sumptuously. And they were free. But not really free. If they're really of the Lord, we are prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Paul said, I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I bear the cross daily. I die daily. Amen?
Amen.
Well, how can you die daily? I mean, yourself has to die daily, and that's by applying the cross daily. The Lord says, take up the cross daily, okay? Deny thyself daily by taking up the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
And do it. Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it quickly. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, shut up. Well, that isn't nice language. That's, you know, you don't think that the Lord's language is good? He says, be quiet and know that I am the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, shut up. Okay, then what?
When the Lord has our cooperation, he will supply us with the power for dealing with the flesh, the spirit, or whatever. This is the most basic principle in our walk of immortality, our walk in life. The putting to death mentioned in Romans chapter 8, verse 13, means that you take the initiative to put to death. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit or the Word of God does it for us any more than when you just read and that's it. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, is the means, but we must take the initiative.
Right. The power. Power. We've got the powerhouse. Like I was mentioning in the yesterday's message, we the Lord is like the big bulldozer. But you got to get on there and move it. Amen? You got to put gas in there or diesel, whatever. Amen?
Amen.
If you want that power to work for you, you got to get the initiative to get behind the wheel and pull those sticks. Amen?
Amen.
Tote that barge, lift that bale, amen?
Amen.
Get with it. Take the initiative. Don't be sit around and think God's going to do something for you, because he'll do for those that do, amen?
Amen.
To take the initiative to do what he says. All right?
Amen.
Then what?
You can have a huge bulldozer, and you may have something that needs to be bulldozed down. But if you don't take the initiative to get into the bulldozer, and if you don't know how to run it, the power is there for you to do it, but you have to take the initiative to run that bulldozer.
Yeah, if you don't know, then you learn. And that's what you're doing now, is learning how to harness the power of God. And that's by you taking the initiative to do what the Word says. Okay? Now, those that are pity themselves all the time are not going to like this message at all. They don't. They just have pity all the time. But, you know, there's a song that Gene Pitney sings. It's Town Without Pity. Pity on you if you don't do it. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, there won't be any pity. There is a town without pity, and it's called Hell. H-E-L-L. There's no pity down there in that city. Amen?
Amen.
What a town without pity can do. What a town without pity can do. Okay, there's no pity. Was there any pity on Jesus when they were beating him and making him carry the cross and driving nails into him and piercing him in the side and spitting on him and pulling his beard out and whipping him? But now he's got everything that's made now. He's got it made. He's in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And so will you. If you don't seek for pity on this side, we know that God has all the reward is at the end of life. And you never know, you might not have that much longer to go. You might go up to meet the Lord tonight. Or while you're laying helpless in your sleep, the Lord says, you come like a thief. Amen?
Amen.
So just live it one day at a time. Don't try to think of what it's going to be in the future. Because you're not to do that according to the scripture. Just one day at a time. Who knows? This might be your lucky day. Maybe this is the day the Lord is going to pour out a blessing on you. Amen?
Amen.
But it's certainly not going to be if you just say, well, no, I'm going to pity him. I just don't care what the Lord says. We're not going to do that. I'm not going to take the initiative to do anything. I'm just going to fold my arms and just sit here with a sad look on my face and weep. And if you're from Europe, it's weep. So you either weep or you're weeping. You're weeping. Forget about it, you know. Get your mind on the Lord. All right? I had one person in the church that he was like one of these pilots. And his wife, you know, he turned out to be a drunk. And he kept drinking after he was saved and was such a drunk. And she came, he was like a captain in one of these, not a MiG or anything like that. I forget what they use over there in Israel. But she says, you know, Tony. And I says, yes. You know, last night, Donald vapped. And I says, oh, God. So what? He should stop drinking and feeling sorry for himself. You know, people that drink and take drugs are the most selfish people on the face of this earth. I was raised around them. And they don't realize or they don't care where all the people that are in their family are suffering. Their kids are hungry. They don't have enough clothing on their backs. And it's all because they're just thinking about themselves. And all of them, they think they have sorrows like they're the only one in the world that's going through it. That just makes me angry. You know how it must make the Lord angry. They don't think of the great prize that waits for them at the end of the line. Think about that. Have a vision of heaven, because the Bible says when people have no vision, they perish. Amen?
Amen.
Get the vision and be happy and be praising and thanking the Lord for what you have. The Lord has provided everything for you and an eternity in the kingdom of heaven. You haven't got the right, especially if you've been a demonic type person. You haven't got any rights whatsoever to live. You're to die. Amen?
Amen.
And then take the initiative to let the life of God live in you. Because the Bible says that Christ is our life. Amen?
Amen.
Because when we were living our own life, everybody wants to live their own life. But no, we want to get rid of that and just let the Lord be our life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The Word of God is stronger than all the bulldozers in the world put together.
And then some. If there's bulldozers on every planet. He is the power. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to Him. And so you can have that power if you'll deny yourself daily, take up the cross and follow Him. And put the cross, the Word, the Spirit, to your self, your flesh, to your spirit. Okay? Then what else?
The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, supplies the strength more than all the bulldozers in the world. But we must take the initiative to put to death the deeds of the body through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. I have spoken before of Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, which says that we, quote, that our Christs have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, unquote. This crucifying is also of our own initiative, not of the Lord's. The Lord puts the power there, and He wants us to use it. but we have to have the initiative. We have to have the gumption to take up the cross, to take up the Word, the Holy Spirit, and deny ourselves, so that the affections and the lusts are crucified. So this crucifying also is definitely our own initiative.
Right, and to get rid of the self-pity. Because if you pity yourself here, there'll be no pity for you in eternity. If you just pity the Lord and thank God that He paid the price for you, then you'll have pity on this side of eternity. But if you don't turn your life not only around, you have to let your life be terminated, then the Lord will start blessing you. Until that day, you keep coming out in the open. I mean, it's like the Groundhog's Day or something like that. Every so often you make your appearance, you know. Your spirit comes forth and it's contaminated. Hello. Then what?
This crucifying also is definitely our own initiative, not the initiative of the Lord. He's already had the initiative and gives the power, but we must have the initiative to use the power. There's no doubt the crucifixion was accomplished by the Lord because He knew what to do and He did it. He had the initiative to do it, but that is only an objective basis. If you take the cross, if you take the initiative to crucify your flesh, it is your subjective application to do so. You need to
take... We have to be subject to the Holy Spirit. Either the Lord is our subject, like we're the king, and He's the subject, okay? Or this is, you know, we have to submit ourselves, or subject ourselves. Submit means go under the Lord. We are under Him. He's not under us. Amen?
Amen.
If we go under Him, then He'll support us. If we don't, He'll tear you to ribbons. Well, I thought God was a God of love. God is love to those that love Him and keep His commandments. Okay, then what else?
You need to take. It's you who needs to take the initiative to apply the cross, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and crucify the passages of the Spirit. We're talking about your spirit.
Now, in the passages, what I mean is, like, your spirit has to come forth. And in order for it to come forth, it has to pass through the soul and through the flesh and through all the other obstacles that are out in the world. The actual environment that you're in. I don't like this environment. I want it to be this way, where everything is for me. I want my own this, I want my own that, I don't want to ride around with other people in a van, I don't want to have community living, I don't want this one back. So we have to put the cross to the environment as well, amen?
Amen.
Like, I didn't like somebody not cleaning the bathtub, living in a communal situation where everybody... using the bathtub, and one of them didn't wipe the dirty ring from around the tub. And then he used my hairbrush, and then I got dandruff from him. And I was enraged, and Susie clued me in. Put the cross to it. Amen?
Amen.
You go in and wash his bathtub, and just go over to the sink and clean your hairbrush out, and wash your dandruffy hair now. But, Sue, I never had dandruff in my life. Are you going to let this throw you for a loop and you're going to wind up in hell? The longer you complain like this and you want the situation, it'll never go away. You're always going to be in this kind of environment. But the minute that you decide not to do it and keep your guns, just keep staying on that path, just go ahead and clean the guy's tub. Well, what if he does it again tomorrow? Clean it again tomorrow. What about it goes on for a week or a month? Just keep doing it. God will honor you. Now that man will go down the drain, and you will be lifted on high. And of course, when you're lifted on high, there'll be more things that you have to contend with there. You might You just might get your own tub, but there'll be other things, all right, that you'll have to contend with. Well, praise the Lord. She was right. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We're talking about your spirit, including your flesh, yourself, your natural constitution, your purposes. Your purpose and heart has to be your initiative. Your aims have to be your initiative. Your intentions, you have to make up your mind, your initiative to do it, and the things that you want to do that you must incline yourself to do.
And if you want to get out of the environment, if you don't like it, then take the initiative to just do what you don't like that the Lord, is, you know, wants you to do. Do it. I mean, things could be worse. Amen?
Amen.
You could be under subjection and be living in a hovel someplace, okay, or in a cave, right? Mm-hmm. At least you have, you know, count your blessings. We have a refrigerator, a pantry, a this or that and another, all kinds of things, amen?
Amen.
Because if you don't, God will take you down and put you in a hovel, in a place where you see people, these poverty-stricken people in Africa, and India, you'd be living in squalor if you're not thankful for what you have now. There's people that are living under terrible circumstances, and they've got AIDS all around them. And none of them expect to live more than 25 years or 30 years. They're dying like flies. Okay, so... Keep a stiff upper lip, Bunky. Amen?
Amen.
Pip, pip, cheerio. Two dozen roses to the widow. Okay? Be happy. On guard, amen?
Amen.
On guard, Satan. Come on, you want to fight, Satan? I promised Satan a long time ago. He kept hitting me harder. Susie said she never saw anyone be hit by Satan as much as I was. She says, my God, Tony. She said, God must have a big work for you, because I've never seen anybody in all the years that I've been in the gospel field be hit like you. But she says, you know what? The Lord is allowing you to go through all this because it's obvious that you're going to be a big pastor someday. And there are going to be people coming to you with every kind of question under the sun. And you'll be able to tell them, oh, yes. I've been through that. There's a person that said they get in filthy dreams and he's just about ready to fall. Well, that happened to me about 40 years ago, and I came to Sue and I said, Lord, I'm Sue, I don't want... She says, you're not responsible for what happens to you while you're sleeping. She said, don't even worry about it. She said, if you can muster up, just pray before you go to sleep. Pray, O Father God, in the name of Jesus, build a wall of fire around me while I'm sleeping, Father, Lord Jesus, and don't let any satanic dream come in, or filthy dream, or any filthy thoughts or anything while I'm sleeping. Lord God, and I'll give you all the praise, the honor, the glory, and the thanks in Jesus' name. And ever since then, it never happened anymore. Amen?
Amen.
And I found out, well, you know, if I'm not responsible, if I have any dream like that, I'm not going to let it bug me. I take my mind off the Lord and winning souls. So there's all kinds of things that people have to learn in order to make it through, to come forth. Amen?
Amen.
Make it through the rye, so to speak. Okay, no, you have to learn how to fight Satan. All right, then what else?
So you must, because the Lord tells you to do so, it must be your motive, it must be your desire, your goal.
Your initiative.
It must be your initiative that does this.
Yeah. You, the Lord says, you take up the cross, you deny yourself, you pick up the cross and follow me. Yeah, follow me means, you know, that you go through life without sinning. Now, these people that say that you can sin, that we're not under the law, no, after the sins get washed away, When we had sins on our soul, we were under the law, the condemnation of the law. We'd go to hell if we didn't repent. But after we repent, then we're not under the law anymore. But if we sin again, then you're right back under the law again. And if you continue living in that sin, and you're unthankful, then there remains no more forgiveness for you. So, you know, it's for your own good that I'm telling you these things. Some people are very thankful for that. We get lots of letters that express their thankfulness, and they see souls being saved from the literature, and they are happy, and it makes them feel good to see their friends and neighbors and relatives being saved from messages from the Lord. But, again, they have to take the initiative to live out these messages. Amen?
Amen.
So, until chapter 4 in 1 Kings, and part 7 of Dealing with the Spirit, this is Tony Alamo saying, praise the Lord. Keep your mind stayed upon God. You'll have perfect peace and sound mind. And God bless all of you. Amen.